Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Time now for our Thursday health segment, where we talk about health, medicine, and the human body. Today's story is about a chance encounter between two strangers on Reddit and a friendship one man credits with saving his life. Only Human's Mary Harris takes it from here.
Laura's a computer programmer in Canada. A few years ago, she was scrolling around Reddit.
At that time, Reddit was primarily a news aggregator site, and it's very nerdy. And so am I.
Reddit has this button you can click.
You can get either a random community or a random post.
It's actually called the random button.
I believe I was waiting for some code to compile, and I was refreshing the random thingy, the little random widget to see what was new on Reddit, and a post from a suicidal person came up.
Laura had stumbled onto this online community called Suicide Watch. It's where people post their suicidal thoughts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I took a look and I thought, oh my God, what a disaster.
The thing is, if you're suicidal, Laura's actually exactly the kind of person you want to find. She gets it. She used to be suicidal herself. She even volunteers at a suicide hotline.
And of course, I talk to suicidal people all the time. So I responded to the person because, you know, what else are you going to do, right?
Yeah. On Suicide Watch, people write things like, every time I try to post on here, I feel like setting myself on fire. And I'm not sad, tearful, or outwardly depressed. I just feel permanently tired of life, that I've given it a shot and it's not for me. All this is anonymous. People have usernames like Bleepity Bleep or PK Boo or Sky Queen. And users can comment, even vote on your suicidal thoughts. So you were worried.
I was concerned, and honestly, I'm still worried, but there's no way to stop it from happening. What I learned is that the community came to exist because there are people who feel more at home there and more safe there than anywhere else. And when they feel suicidal, that's the place where they feel safe talking about it. That's the only place where they feel safe talking about it.
Laura wanted to help. She started posting advice and eventually became a moderator here. These days, she usually has one eye on Reddit before she has her first cup of coffee. She's looking for users like this.
Please just call me Andre. Please don't mention where I'm from, if that's okay.
We'll just say that Andre is a 20-year-old college student in Europe. And before he came to Reddit, he'd already tried to commit suicide twice. Each time, he took a cab to a bridge near his home.
I sat on the ledge, and I was really going to jump. My only concern at that time was, what if I jump and don't make it? What if I jump and survive?
Both times he called 911 after a couple of hours. And he came to Reddit looking for a foolproof way to die.
It's very easy to fail. So, yeah, I guess I was searching for, I don't know, some pills that would get it done with 100% certainty.
Which is how he met Laura.
I sent him a note and I said, look, you got to stop doing this, basically.
Talking about suicide methods is against the rules here.
And basically, he just kept arguing with me for weeks.
But there was this connection.
I felt she was really the only person on Earth that was understanding me at the time.
Even then, Andre was still thinking about how to take his own life.
I sent her a private message and told her, if you don't hear back from me by Monday, then I'm probably gone.
Oh my gosh, what did she say?
She said that I really wish that I could help, give you more help, and that there was something more I could do for you.
So after you got that note, what did you do?
I proceeded with what I had planned earlier.
He took a bunch of pills from his parents' medicine cabinet and waited for them to go to bed. He spent 3 or 4 hours debating what to do next. He says he was fighting his survival instinct.
Eventually, there just came a moment that I thought, well, screw it. And I took all the pills.
He woke up in the hospital. And the one person he wanted to talk to was Laura. So he messaged her, saying,
I'm alive. I'm really upset that I'm still not gone. And the answer was, well, I'm sorry that you're still suffering, but I'm so glad that you're still here, because that means I can still give you some help. And I can say that it's really hard to imagine what life would be right now if I couldn't talk to her when something happens.
It's been 2.5 years since Andre woke up in that hospital. His suicidal thoughts aren't gone, but he says they come less often now. And he's still in touch with Laura, who says he does seem better these days. You kept at it for years.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he writes me, I'm going to reply. The point, Mary, is that it isn't just that I kept at it. It's that he kept at it. It's like he stuck with it too, right? And I mean, it's not like he wrote to me every day, but, you know, a few days would go by and then he'd drop me another note. And then when things really got going, we were probably sending 2 or 3 notes a day back and forth, sometimes for, you know, a few weeks at a stretch.
Andre and Laura have never spoken by phone. They've never seen each other's pictures. They don't even know each other's last names.
All we have ever done is talk through private messages, through text messages.
Still?
Yeah, still without her help, I wouldn't be here.
Every day, Laura comes back to Reddit, looking for people who don't get the help they need anywhere else.
It really is a place where people who would never call a hotline, would never consult a mental health professional, would never tell their friends and family, who would never do any of those sort of standard things. They will talk about their suicidal thoughts and feelings there. So it both can't exist in one sense, but in a larger sense has to exist.
For WNYC, I'm Mary Harris.
This story was part of Only Humans series on young people and mental health. You can hear more stories and subscribe to the podcast at onlyhuman.org.